Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
So, 12D75423, tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm a 1.2 litre. My clock says 60,000, but sure, I've driven 120. I've had multiple crashes, and I have outstanding finance of double my asking price.
Not exactly as advertised, are we?
Every second-hand car has a story to tell. Know the full story before you buy. Use the CCPC Car Buyer's Checklist and know what to look for. Find out more at ccpc.ie/car checks. From the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Talking Point, Planet F1's very own podcast. In today's episode, we're going to be discussing the 2020 Sakhir Grand Prix, the second of the two races to take place at Bahrain, and in many, many ways, it delivered. By way, I of course mean myself, Finlay Kraboda, and the Planet F1 editor, Michelle Foster. So, Michelle, we've obviously had a lot of memorable races this season. You know, a lot of chaotic races with some crazy results, but that was up there with the best of them, wasn't it?
Most definitely. I mean, completely unexpected, Sergio Perez taking the win. I think that was his 190th Grand Prix start, and he finally stepped onto the top step of the podium. And it just, pretty much shows Formula One what it can do if a team such as Mercedes and their dominance is out of the equation.
I think the fact that Sergio Perez winning a race was arguably not the biggest talking point of the race pretty much says it all, you know. But I think it is where we should start because it is still a huge story nonetheless. First of all, before we get into the specifics of his drive and how he won, of all the drivers on the grid that prior to it had yet to win a race, do you think there was anyone more deserving of it than him of finally getting that win?
No, definitely not. I mean, Perez has been up there for so many years. He's been pulling results out of that Racing Point that no one expected. The only thing he had yet to do was put it on the top step of the podium, and he did that. So well done to him.
Yeah, I think he's a driver that really has deserved a win for a long, long time. I mean, obviously, you know, the likes of Hülkenberg and a lot of other midfield drivers have never even, you know, got multiple podiums. I mean, Hülkenberg, let alone one. So I wouldn't say that if Perez retired without a win, he would have felt like it was a massive injustice. But it's definitely something that he deserves, I think. And it was great to see. Obviously, there was a lot of luck involved in him getting it. But the fact that, you know, after the first lap, he was running rock bottom, you know, he was stone dead last of anyone. Even disregarding that luck, it was still a pretty stunning drive from him, wasn't it?
Yeah, he went from last on the first lap to first on the last lap. It was a fantastic drive for him. He didn't put a wheel wrong. I mean, the incident on the opening lap, that was purely Charles Leclerc's fault, trying to find a gap that just wasn't there. Perez got pitched into a spin, and instead of putting his tail between his legs, he knuckled down. He did the job and put himself in the hunt for a podium position, and that podium became a race win when Mercedes imploded. So you really got to credit the bloke. I mean, he did everything right. He did everything that he possibly could. Racing Point were faultless on the night as well when it came to his strategy, his pit stops and everything. So well done to the team as a whole. It was a really fantastic result. And like you say, I don't think there's a single person in the paddock who I mean, even poor George Russell, who would feel bad about the fact that it was Perez who took the win.
Yeah, we'll get onto the rest in a second, but I think everybody, the majority of F1 fans, I think, were pretty gutted about what happened to him. But for me, at least, and I think for a lot of other people, that blow was definitely softened by the fact that it was Perez that won the race. You know, I think generally the world of F1 wouldn't have really... There couldn't have been a universally popular winner. Like you said, he was last at the start of the first lap and first at the end of the last lap. It was, I think of the best drives this season, I think that's definitely got to be up there. And I mean, the fact is that even without the Mercedes mishaps, you know, that handed him the victory, he still would have most likely ended the race in P3, which is still an incredible achievement in itself, really. It was just a stunning drive in every way. You know, he had really strong pace, he pulled off the overtakes perfectly, he managed his tyres as well as he always does. Yeah, we've obviously spoken a lot in the last few months about whether he should have a seat next season, whether he should be replacing Albon at Red Bull. I mean, we were already in agreement that he should, that he deserves that seat. But I mean, I'm pretty sure for the majority of the F1 world, this convinces them. Do you think this win has been enough to convince Red Bull finally?
Oh, one could only hope so. I mean, the chap really did do nothing wrong. It should have been his third podium in three races if it wasn't for the engine failure in Bahrain last weekend. I mean, Sergio Perez has shown himself to be a star, and it's not just this season that he's done it. He's done it in many seasons before. I don't think there's anyone in Formula One who doesn't feel like he's been hard done by in this Racing Point situation. I mean, when the driver market finished playing out, the guy who we thought was one of the most secure on the grid landed up being the one without a race seat. And again, instead of sulking in the corner, he really showed all the teams what they've been missing. And how Red Bull have not yet announced him is absolutely beyond me. The only thing I can think is the team did come out this weekend and said, for Alex, it's either Red Bull or nothing next season. They have no intention of putting him in the AlphaTauri. So I can only think that is why they're delaying the announcements until the very end of the season, just to give the guy every opportunity possible to actually have a job next year. But I mean, if this win doesn't sort that out, I mean, Perez won the race. Albon was P6. It was a lackluster drive from the tyre driver yet again. Red Bull needs to put Perez in the car. There's no way. I mean, Alex had every opportunity to win this race. Max Verstappen was out of the equation. Charles Leclerc was out of the equation. Mercedes messed up their race. And yet Alex couldn't even put his car on the podium. I mean, if that doesn't say everything to Christian Horner and Helmut Marko, then they really aren't listening.
Yeah, and the fact is that Albon was actually, he was pretty lucky to even get P6. You know, that was because of Mercedes falling apart, kind of bumped him up two positions. And yeah, I think in a normal race, he probably would have struggled to even score points. You know, he would have maybe grabbed two or something. Which, yeah, I mean, the fact is that this weekend showed that Mercedes aren't the unstoppable machine so many people see them as, you know. I think it's been pretty clear for a while that Valtteri Bottas certainly isn't the best driver Mercedes could have, and he's definitely beatable, even in a Mercedes. They showed this weekend that in terms of pit stops, they're not perfect. So, you know, Red Bull just have to look at that, and they think, if we have two really strong drivers, Verstappen and Perez, we could genuinely take the fight to them. And then, well, at least I hope that's how they're looking at it now, because it's so much more exciting for the sport having Perez with Verstappen, I think, in terms of the inter-team battle. It's so much more exciting for championship battles, and it's, you know, pretty simply, it's what Perez deserves. I think the only thing perhaps more baffling than the fact that Red Bull have yet to decide to sign him is the fact that Racing Point decided to drop him for Sebastian Vettel. Throughout the season, they've been, you know, pretty... They've stuck by their decision. You know, they've obviously said how happy they are with the decision. Do you think at this point, now that Perez has got a podium and a race win, while Sebastian Vettel, you know, languished down and he finished P12, I believe, do you think at this point they're starting to regret that decision at all?
I think right now they're just praying to every entity possible that 2020 is a blip on Vettel's radar and not not the start of, let's call it an extreme decline. I mean, yeah, he's had made a couple of mistakes in previous seasons, but this year he just hasn't been at the game. I mean, it's actually been quite shocking from a four-time world champion how off the pace he's been compared to his teammates, never mind compared to the likes of Mercedes, Red Bull, or even Sergio Perez. So, yeah, I don't think Racing Point's going to be regretting their decision. At the end of the day, Vettel is a four-time world champion. I think they're just going to be praying, like I said, that it's a one-off bad season for him.
Yeah, I think if that turns out not to be the case, then it'll go down as one of the worst decisions a team has ever made, especially if Perez goes to Red Bull and nails it there. But, I'm not saying that I hope it happens, because I, like most people who watch the sport, do really want to see Vettel back in his best, back in form, back as the driver that we did see win four world titles. But there is a part of me that thinks it would be karma, in a way, for the team, for Racing Point, soon to be known as Aston Martin, for making such a baffling decision and getting rid of Perez. But yeah, you know, the fact is that at the moment, we don't really have to think about that. We can just enjoy the fact that Sergio Perez is a Formula One race winner, which, feels really good to say. And it's been a long time coming as well. It's been a long time coming. Just quick word, you know, obviously joining them on the podium was Esteban Ocon, who went pretty much under the radar in the chaos that took place in front of him. But that was his first ever podium as well. And it was a result that he really needed, wasn't it?
It was a result that he desperately needed. I mean, in the paddock on Friday, there was a rumour going around that Pierre Gasly has already signed or has an agreement in principle for the Renault race seats in 2022. So Ocon really needed to show what he can do. You know, like Perez, you could argue the fact that he benefited from other people's misfortunes. But, I mean, how often in Formula One, unless you're Lewis Hamilton, do you win a race by benefiting from other people's misfortunes? It's pretty much the story that happens, you know. So, yeah, well done to him. I mean, it was really good for him. It was nice to see somebody else new on the podium in a season that's just been absolutely weird in every way, shape or form. You know, it was a great result for him and give him a lot of confidence going into next season. I mean, next year he's going to be up against Fernando Alonso. And if there's ever a driver to be scared of having to take on, I mean, Fernando Alonso would have to be right there with the best.
Yeah, and Alonso was also there watching as well at the race. So I'm sure it would have felt good for Ocon to, you know, lay down a marker, show that he's not just going to be this easy number two driver. God, I mean, just thinking about it, you know, I don't have the numbers to hand or anything, but we've had some crazy podiums this year. You know, we've had so many midfield drivers finish in the top three. I mean, when was the last time you think this happened?
The last time I remember a crazy Formula One season would have to be 2012, when we had I think it was seven different winners in eight races, or six different winners in seven races, something bonkers like that. It's fantastic to see at the moment that Formula One is sort of, the door is opening to the midfield to play a role in the podium fights. The only downside is that invariably it's a Mercedes 1-2 on the top step, and then the rest gets a fight over the next position, third. It would be really nice if we could have everybody, or at least the midfield, fighting for the victories. But, you know, hopefully in 2022 that will come.
Yeah, I think those kind of races, you know, Monza, the last race in particular, they've shown just how good the sport could be in 2022 if the regulations have that desired effect and do bring the midfield closer to Mercedes, maybe even level with Mercedes. I mean if you take Mercedes and Verstappen out of the equation, then we'd be having an unbelievable title fight right now. So yeah, I think watching races like that, you can't help but just hope that the 2022 regulations do have the desired effect, because then we could have some pretty unbelievable season with the drivers on the grid that we've got. Moving on, I think, you know, like I said, even though Perez won, he probably wasn't the biggest story of the day. And I think that's largely because of George Russell, pretty much, and how he did replacing Lewis Hamilton. For both him and Valtteri Bottas, I think it was probably perhaps the most important race weekend of their careers. Yeah, I mean, some people called it a showdown for that second seat at Mercedes. And in a way, it really did feel that way. And ultimately, despite the cruel nature of the result, it's a showdown that Russell pretty much won, didn't he?
Oh, Russell won it convincingly. I mean, it was embarrassing, actually, if you think about it. Valtteri Bottas did take pole position, but I think by 200th of a second ahead of Russell. Yes, it is a short track, which would make the gap smaller, blah, blah, whatever you want to say. The point of fact is George was right there. Mercedes' debut, he qualified his car second. He hasn't been the best of starters. He's acknowledged this. And the race began and he blitzed Bottas. He took the lead immediately. Prior to the botched pit stop, he was leading by 5 seconds. I mean, the reports were basically already written, you know, George Russell wins showdown on his way to Sakhir Grand Prix win. And then, unfortunately, Mercedes absolutely cocked it up for them. But George did everything right. And then, even after the botched pit stops, he lined up, I think he was fifth to Bottas's fourth, made short work of Bottas. Just, yes, Bottas was on older tyres, given the fact that Mercedes had put his old tyres back on his car in the process of that crazy pit stop. But, I mean, George made Bottas look like he was standing still. And then he was storming through, got his way up to second place, was chasing down Perez. Gap was like 2 seconds, only to suffer a puncture. So he finished behind Bottas at the end of the result. But I think everyone knows who was the winner in that one. It was very much George Russell. And Valtteri Bottas should be worried. I really think he should start having conversations with teams about a 2022 drive, because if Mercedes don't put him into that car in 2022, well, you know what? I think they're going to. I don't think there's any option after Sunday's race. George showed he deserved it. And yeah, well done to him. Just, again, gutted for him that he lost the win. But first points in Formula One, fastest lap of the race. Good old George.
Yeah, it's something, isn't it? It should have been so much more, though. You know, at one point when he was, I think after the first pit stops, he was 8 seconds clear of Bottas. And to me, it felt similar to Verstappen's first race at Red Bull back in Barcelona in 2016, where it felt like a star was being born, you know, like Toto Wolff said. It really did feel like one of those moments where we were witnessing the emergence of one of Formula One's future stars. And to be honest, before that race, I hadn't been entirely convinced that Russell was at that level. You know, obviously he has excellent Saturday pace, but on Sundays he'd often failed to deliver. And I wasn't fully convinced that he had the talent to be at that level of kind of, you know, the other young drivers like Verstappen and Leclerc. But yeah, I mean, I'm fully convinced now. It was so impressive in every way. You know, he had the outright pace that we've always known he had, but also he made some really good moves, especially late in the race when he had to recover from his team's mistakes. And, you know, he was just so calm and composed as well, which is, yeah, I mean, not an easy thing to do when you're driving the car of a 7-time world champion expected to at least finish second, but it just didn't faze him. I mean, you know, obviously you said that it's pretty certain that Mercedes will give him a seat for 2022, which, yeah, I agree with. I think it is. Do you think there's any chance now that they might be thinking about giving him a seat for 2021, you know, whether it be in place of Bottas? You know, obviously Bottas is under contract, but as Racing Point have showed, contracts can be broken. Or maybe even, do you think it could play a role in the negotiations with Lewis Hamilton?
Toto has said several times this weekend, because of course you can imagine that this has been this has been the question that's been thrown at him left, right, and centre. He's adamant it's not going to play a role in negotiations with Hamilton. You know, he says there's just too much respect between the two of them for them to even have considered doing so. You know, it could have gone either way. If George has had a bad weekend, Lewis could have asked for an extra 5, and if George had a good weekend, you know, Mercedes could tell him they were open to paying him 5 less. But, you know, it's an 8-year relationship. It's a relationship that has had so much success in it. I mean, 6 world titles, 7 championship doubles have been in the equation as well. I don't think George's performance is going to impact Hamilton's talks with Mercedes in any way, shape, or form. However, Bottas is, I would love to see Mercedes put George in that car for next year. I think it would be great for him to be able to learn alongside Lewis Hamilton in a car that we know is a championship winning car. We know it's a race winning car. Bottas does have a contract in place. Toto Wolff is adamant that they're going to honour that contract, and Williams will honour theirs with George. But I think after this weekend's race, you know, even Finnish pundits are saying that Bottas he's shown that he doesn't deserve that seat. I mean, he got his ass handed to him by the rookie, you know. So if he does stay with the team for next season, which it does look like he will, 2021 is going to be his last year with Mercedes, unless he pulls a rabbit out of a hat and destroys Lewis Hamilton. And we all know that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was a bit of a surprise when Rosberg beat Hamilton in 2016, but the fact is there'd been signs it was there. You know, he ended 2015 by dominating him, and he got into his head as well. Whereas you look at Bottas and it's impossible to see that happening, really. I think one thing that a lot of people will be wondering is, you know, obviously Russell, with zero experience in the car, got the better of Bottas. I think a big question is, is that because of just how good Russell is? You know, is that just because he is this you know, once-in-a-lifetime talent that's going to be the next Hamilton? Or is that because Bottas simply isn't particularly good and we just haven't taken notice of it because he's been alongside Hamilton?
I think it might be a combination of both things. Also throw into the fact that the Mercedes is a really good car, which, you know, Daniel Ric came out after qualifying and said that does make it easier for a driver when you step in from a bad car to a really good car. It makes it a lot more comfortable to race. But, I mean, even speaking about comfort, Russell was in a car that was too small for him. He had to wear boots that were a size smaller. He's a size 11. He had to shove his feet into a size 10 in order to make it into the car. And yet he still had the measure, even through all that discomfort, on Valtteri Bottas. I think, unfortunately, what he really did was he showed that Bottas is an average driver. He showed that the W11 is a phenomenal car. As for whether he's shown whether he could be the next Lewis Hamilton, that's a case of time's going to tell.
Yeah, it's a big boots to fill, literally, replacing Hamilton, I think. But yeah, it's a good position for Mercedes to be in, I think, you know, with Hamilton. I'm pretty certain he'll be around at Mercedes next season. But after that, you know, it starts to be less clear. If he wins 8 world titles, you know, he'll be approaching 40 sooner rather than later. So, yeah, I mean, I think Russell is pretty. I mean, yeah, he's certain to be in a Mercedes in 2022. I think if Hamilton retires, then it will be in place of Hamilton, and if Hamilton doesn't retire, then I think it'll be in place of Bottas. Just a last word on Russell. I mean, it's obviously, it has been so hard to tell because he's been at Williams, and it is still difficult to tell now because he did have the privilege of being in the fastest car on the grid, but just how talented do you think he is? You know, if you compare him to the other youngsters of this generation, compare him to Verstappen, to Leclerc, to Lando Norris, where do you think he ranks in that group?
Yeah, I think probably behind Max Verstappen, in that Max really is a phenomenal talent. A little bit of an ego on the side, but when you put him in a race car, he's really, really good. But you got to remember, like, Russell has won junior series. He won the FIA Formula 2. He won the GP3 series. I mean, the guy has shown that he really does have talent, and he's really good. Some drivers, yeah, they win in the junior series, they come into Formula 1, and they just don't seem to have it. I think Russell on Sunday showed us that he does have it, even in a Formula 1 car. Now, yeah, either he needs to step into the Mercedes or Williams need to improve their car. But unfortunately, I really don't see Williams making any great strides forward next season.
With the lack of regulation changes, that's difficult to happen. But yeah, it's a good point you make, you know, because it is worth remembering that, you know, back when Russell, Norris and Albon were all in Formula 2 together before they were promoted, Russell was the one who won that battle. He was the one who won that title. And he won a lot of championships before that as well, you know, against a pretty strong generation, you know, a pretty strong group of drivers. And I think that in hindsight, you know, right now he'll be gutted, obviously, that he didn't get the win that he deserved. But I think in hindsight, he's going to look back at this as one of the best weekends of his career, you know, because I think it has showed not just Mercedes, but it showed the world, you know, the world of Formula One in general, that he is that good. Even if he's failed to score a point for so long, that you know, he has proved that he really is one of those top talents. And I think, you know, in a few years' time, if he has become this multiple race winner or perhaps even a title winner, I think then this race weekend people will look back on it and think of it as maybe the start of George Russell in a lot of ways. I think as well, the fact that a move to Mercedes sooner rather than later is perhaps made more likely by the fact that, by the fact that Williams allowed him to go to Mercedes this weekend. You know, it's another sign that the ownership at Williams is a bit less protective of him than Claire Williams was. And also the fact that Williams seemed to have a pretty handy driver, a reserve driver in Jack Aitken.
Yeah, I think Jack did really well. I mean, he stepped into a back of the grid car, which of course is never ideal. He did out qualify Kimi Raikkonen in the Alfa Romeo and Pietro Fittipaldi in the Haas. Again, that was pretty impressive. I mean, Kimi Raikkonen, the most experienced driver on the field. Jack Aitken, a rookie, He did make a mistake in Sunday's race. I think he had a spin, if I remember correct. Still brought his car home in 16th place. I think Jack did a solid race. It was, there was a lot of that race that went right for him. Unfortunately, you kind of get the feeling like unless this is a case of George Russell will be back in the Mercedes for this weekend's Abu Dhabi race, that was probably a one-off for Jack, unfortunately.
One of those unlucky drivers that unfortunately can't bring too much other than his talent, which, you know, should be enough, but ultimately isn't a lot of the time. One last word, I think, on this race. You know, I think there's obviously Russell, Bottas, Perez with the big talking points, but I think it's worth quickly discussing the track that we had. Because, I mean, obviously, laps of well under a minute, 87 laps of the race, not quite an oval, but the closest thing we're going to get in Formula One. It was the most unique layout, let's say, that we've had in the sport in a long time. Given the race we had, do you think, is it something you'd want to return to in the future?
Yeah, so I didn't think it was a bad race at all. You know, the biggest concern heading into the race, given the 3.5 and, like you said, the sub-minute lap, was that there'd be absolute chaos in qualifying and also in the race. And there wasn't. You know? I mean, a few drivers did trip each other up and, you know, leaders had to work their way through traffic and stuff. But there wasn't the chaos and confusion and mayhem that had been predicted. So yeah, I think the outer circuit delivered. It was interesting, it was different, and I wouldn't mind seeing another race taking place on the circuit.
I think it would be in danger of becoming a bit dull if drivers all became really familiar with it. You know, this weekend was made a lot more interesting by the fact that there were a lot of mistakes. You know, there was obviously the first corner incident with Leclerc, Verstappen, and Perez, and then there was Jack Aitken brought out safety car by losing his front wing, hitting the barriers at the final corner. So I do think that, you know, is a regular fixture on the calendar, it would maybe become a bit same old as drivers got used to it. But I think, you know, it could be worth alternating it with the normal Bahrain layout, you know, year in, year out. Because to be honest, in recent years, the normal Bahrain track hasn't exactly produced the best races anyway. I think, in a lot of ways, it definitely delivered that kind of track. And it is nice to just have something different on the calendar as well, I think. God, we've only got one race of the season left, which is, it's a strange thought in a way. It is one of the shortest seasons that Formula One has had in a long, long time. But I don't know, it doesn't really feel that way, does it?
No, I mean, it feels like it's suddenly coming to a mad rushing end. You know, three races to end the season does unfortunately make it feel a bit longer than normal. But yeah, ending in Abu Dhabi next weekend, final race. Unfortunately, not the final race for Romain Grosjean. He unfortunately has gone home to Switzerland to get his hand seen to because I think the one burn is not healing quite as it should be. So yeah, his Formula One career unfortunately came to a premature end with last Sunday's crash. We wish him all the best, both for his future and for his health. I'm pretty sure his wife and his kids are really looking forward to having him back home and having him safe. But yeah, I mean, he's hoping for a good final race to the championship. P3 is still up for grabs. I think in the constructors, P4 in the drivers. Perez has that by 13 points ahead of Daniel Ricciardo. So yeah, there's still going to be a lot of fun and games next weekend.
Yeah, I mean, Abu Dhabi often, you know, where if there's not much to play for, doesn't produce the best racing. But like you said, I think there is a lot to play for, you know. There's battles in the championship. There'll be stand-in drivers, at least one, maybe two more if Hamilton can't return. Yeah, just to mention Romain Grosjean, I think, I've been a massive fan of him since he joined the grid in 2012. Maybe one of few, especially as time's gone on. But I have been, and yeah, it's never right, I think, for a Formula One driver to finish their career in that way, you know, with not being able to do it on their own terms. But when it was announced he'd be leaving, I thought, oh, well, after he's driven his last race, I'll feel really gutted about it. But to be honest, I don't feel the way. I'm just happy that he's alive, basically, that he's healthy. And I'm sure that's the way he feels as well. But yeah, one more race. And yeah, like we said, that's next week in Abu Dhabi. Well, Michelle, thanks for coming on today.
Always a pleasure, Fendi.
And as always, thanks to everyone for listening. Like I said, we'll be back next week for the episode on the final race of the season. And in the meantime, then be sure to keep an eye on our website, planetf1.com, to find out if Lewis Hamilton will be coming back for it or if we get to see Russell and Mercedes again. And keep an eye on our social media channels as well. Our Facebook is simply Planet F1 and our Twitter is Planet_F1. Also, if you've enjoyed this episode and you've enjoyed the rest of the episodes that you've listened to this season, then be sure to leave us the reviews on Apple Podcasts too, because yeah, it goes a really long way to helping us out. So yeah, thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
The all-new Hyundai i20, Ireland's fastest-growing small family car this year. The Motor Press say, the old guard need to be wary of being overtaken. See what they mean by taking a test drive in the striking all-new Hyundai i20, the daring supermini that's shaking up the competition. Visit your local Hyundai dealer today. Fastest-growing small family car this year based on the most recently published monthly figures.
Sports Social Podcast Network.